When I was growing up, you know, my parents, and I'm sure many of your parents as well, cared a lot about the people I ran around with. You know, if there was a group of kids I didn't really like so much, you might hear things like, well, they might be a bad influence on you, or they might bring you down. You probably told some of your own children that. What's that phrase about if you lie with dogs, what is it? You get fleas. That's right. If you lie with dogs, you get fleas. You know, we're all familiar with that kind of age-old wisdom, right? But in this passage today from Galatians, Peter is getting in trouble for kind of contradicting that wisdom. Paul is pretty harshly rebuking Peter for being a hypocrite. He tells him he's acting like a Gentile and he's not acting consistent with the gospel truth. He even calls him Cephas, which is the name that Peter was called before Jesus changed his name to Peter. Paul is actually pretty hard on him. And it's all because Peter is no longer eating with Gentiles. So that's it. That's the big problem, is dinner time. And it seems kind of strange because, generally speaking, we like to share good food together, right? We're about to go do it over here in just a few minutes, and we're excited about it. You know, if you go and eat food with your friends, it's almost guaranteed to be a really good time, right? But that's not what Paul's talking about. See, the people that Peter is refusing to eat with, they're not his friends. They're not his people, you know? In fact, they're basically opposite from him in every single way, because they're Gentiles. If you've read any of the Old Testament, you know that the Jews were very particular about their habits. They only ate certain kinds of foods, and they didn't eat certain kinds of foods, and they wore certain clothes, and they cut their beard in certain ways, and they only ate animals with certain kind of hooves. You know, they were obsessive about establishing a common behavior for all Jewish people. So the way that they ate made them unique and peculiar. It made them God's people. It set them apart. It was a way of saying, we are this people, not those people. Further, in Paul's day, mealtimes were not just a chance to eat. It was an event with a lot of social implications. So you knew how powerful someone was by the people that they ate with. Oftentimes, hosts would even invite rich and poor people just so they could intentionally draw a distinction between themselves and those poor people. It was a way to solidify social standing and a way of reinforcing a social hierarchy. You might say it was kind of a first century version of the good old boy system. You know, it wasn't what you knew, but who you knew. And good Jews just didn't eat with Gentiles. The righteous just didn't eat with the sinners. And the good, upstanding citizens, they just didn't eat with the trashy people. So maybe we can understand why Peter didn't want to have to sit down and eat with the Gentile hooligans. You know, they disregarded Jewish law, and they made Peter look bad. They put a bad mark on his reputation. So we can understand that. Paul, not so sympathetic. In fact, he condemns this as outright hypocrisy. Verse 14 tells us that for Paul, by not eating with the Gentiles, Peter was not acting consistently with the truth of the gospel. So if Peter knew the gospel truth, then he knew better than to think he couldn't eat with the Gentile brothers and sisters. By Paul's logic, if you believe that God came to the earth in the form of the man Jesus, was died and then resurrected, then you can no longer refuse to eat with those people whose ways make you uncomfortable. Peter knew and believed the story of the gospel, so he really had no excuse for not eating with the Gentiles. Now, I think I can say pretty confidently that all of us in here know and believe the gospel truth, because I've stood right there for 10 weeks and recited the creed with you. So I want everyone to get out their hymnals, if you have them in your pews, and turn to page 881 for the Apostles' Creed. Let's see what we have here. We believe in God the Father Almighty. We believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son. We believe He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, crucified, dead, buried. The third day He rose again. That's it, right? That's the gospel truth. And we all know it because we say it every single week. We believe this. We believe the gospel. And so, like Peter, we don't get to be picky about our dinner company. And if we are, well, then we're hypocrites. Now, I know that sharing a meal is inherently demanding. If someone invites you to dinner, you're going to be there at least 2 hours. At least 2 hours, because you're going to get there, and you're going to have to wait for them to finish preparing the meal, and then you're going to have to eat the food, and then of course you have to visit afterward, because it'd be rude just to dine and dash. So you're going to be there a while. And you might not like how they cook, or the food that they serve, or the drinks that they serve. And if you've seen our kitchen at its worst, you might wonder if it's even clean enough to cook in. So going to someone's house for dinner is demanding. And obviously, providing a meal for someone is demanding. You know, you have to straighten up your house, make it look presentable, and then try to make it look like it actually always looks like that, even though we know it doesn't. And you have to clear all that junk off the kitchen table and the dining room table to make space. Then, of course, you have to buy and prepare a meal that you hope your guests will like. And you might even cook a big, giant feast and then realize your guests don't even eat meat. Some people are just hard to cook for. So eating with anyone is costly. It requires time and money and energy. And for Peter, it required all of those things, and it would ruin his reputation. Any meal with a Gentile would have been a costly one. But you know who else knew a thing or two about costly meals? Jesus. Jesus. See, we all know the story of Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector, and the people called him the one who is a sinner. Nobody wanted to be friends with Zacchaeus, and they surely didn't think that Jesus should be. But he was. And how did that friendship begin? With a meal. They ate together. It was a meal that called Zacchaeus to repent and follow Jesus. It was a meal that moved him to give very generously to repay all those people that he had wronged. It was a meal that changed Zacchaeus' whole life forever. That's a meal. See, Jesus' insistence on eating with sinners, with the Gentiles, was simultaneously an act of love for neighbor and an act of resistance against the powers that be. It was a concrete way that he challenged the arbitrarily drawn social divisions of the world in which he lived. The table was a place to embrace the type of community that was at the very heart of the new order Jesus brought into the world. It was radical. And eating together is still one of the most radical things we can do as disciples of Jesus and members of His holy church. Friends eat together, and families eat together, and then here we are. Family or not family, friends or not friends, but here all of us are in this room, and we really only have one thing in common. That creed. That thing where we say we believe in God the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We have that in common. I think I can say pretty confidently that had God not called me to Plank Chapel, Jake and I would have never found our way here to Bobbitt, North Carolina. You know, we don't farm, and we don't know anything about tractors, and we don't do ticks, and we do not believe that black snakes are good to keep around. Absolutely not. We're different. But we've had to learn to be family, to be brothers and sisters. And that means we've had to gather around a table. We can't be like Peter and not eat with people who are too different. Now, this is just a short four verses in the middle of the book of Galatians. So it might seem like we could just overlook this passage and Paul's insistence upon eating with one another. You know, that's just one abstract way of being a disciple. So we could read it and think it doesn't mean we actually have to eat with weird people. But unfortunately for us, Scripture suggests that that is just not the case. That actually, we do have to really eat with people. People of all kinds, even Gentiles. The call to table fellowship comes up over and over and over again in the Gospels and in the letters from Paul. Jesus was always eating. He stayed eating with people of high class and low class, people who were his kind and then the people who weren't. So it looks like if we really want to be like Jesus, and I know we do, then we have to start eating with anybody and everybody. So I've explained why eating with the Gentiles mattered so much to Paul and why Peter is in so much trouble in this passage. Because of the way that things were, Peter had to have been radically transformed to be willing to share a table with the Gentiles. But we have been radically transformed. We know the good news. We know about God the Father and Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit. We know about death and about resurrection. And so we are no longer bound by the divisions of this world. And that is good news. We are not black and white, and we're not rich and poor. We're not public school and private school. We're not from Bobbitt and new to Bobbitt. We're just the church. We are the one holy Catholic church. And we come to just one table, the Lord's table. And it's a table where all those divisions just don't matter anymore. So let's eat.